Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text for our meditation this evening is the gospel lesson. Read just a moment ago. You're welcome to follow along with it as you find it printed in your bulletin. From what we heard last weekend from John's gospel, it might seem as if Jesus' first appearance to his disciples on Easter evening went pretty smoothly, except for the problem of doubting Thomas, who just wasn't there and wouldn't believe. But from Luke's gospel, we get a different picture, at least at first, of what went on. Just before our text, we hear that there were also other people besides the 11 in the locked room on Easter evening. Then the two disciples we heard about, whom Jesus had appeared to on the road to Damascus, had come to that room to tell everyone what they had already seen and experienced, that Jesus was alive. So the disciples had already heard that some were claiming that Jesus was alive. Our text begins then for this evening as they were talking about all these things, when Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." Well, that didn't immediately bring them peace or joy, though, our text says. We hear that they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit, something like a ghost of some sort. And this had happened once before when the disciples were out in a boat in the stormy Sea of Galilee, and Jesus came to them walking on the water of the sea. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, tells us, "When the disciples saw him, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus said to them, 'Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid.'" And if you remember that story, impetuous Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Note that he said, "Lord, if it's you." Still wasn't sure that this could actually be Jesus there walking on the water. The disciples certainly had faith in God, but that faith was sometimes mixed up with doubt and confusion and even some superstitions of their culture. In this case, Peter started walking on the water, but when he saw the wind and the waves, he immediately became afraid again, and he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus rescued him. But he also had to scold him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Well, the disciples on Easter evening were very similar. They saw Jesus standing right in front of them that evening, but they were startled and frightened and unsure. Could a dead person really come back to life? Maybe they wondered, some of them, even though they knew of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised very, very recently. And how could anyone get through these locked doors to get to us through these walls and be with us in person? It wasn't just doubting Thomas who struggled at first to believe. Most of the disciples seemed to have the same problem. But before we get too critical of them, just imagine if I were here preaching tonight and suddenly someone out of nowhere was standing right by the altar. What would you think? Would we be startled and frightened also? I suspect that we would. Jesus loved those disciples, though, in spite of their doubts and their fears. When he said to them, "Peace to you," wasn't just a typical Jewish way of greeting someone among friends. By his life and his death and his resurrection, Jesus was actually bringing peace and reconciliation with God himself for them and for us, forgiveness for all the sins and the failings that would separate us from God if we were left on our own. Listen to some other scriptures that say the same thing, the peace that Jesus brings. It's real peace beyond just feeling good. In Colossians, we read, "In Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Christ, he reconciled to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Peace with God, reconciliation with God. And in Romans 5, we read, "Since we have been justified, counted right with God by faith in what Jesus did for us, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace, into this undeserved love and favor of God in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Well, to strengthen that faith of those disciples, those frightened disciples, Jesus then spoke to them what we would call as Lutherans both law and gospel, as Jesus had done with Peter earlier on the Sea of Galilee. He scolded the disciples and said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" He wanted them to know clearly their own sins and their failings. It wasn't just doubting Thomas who needed some help. They needed the help and the forgiveness and the hope that only Jesus could give to them too. And we all still need to hear those words and need that same forgiveness still today. Jesus then gave to his disciples the gospel, the good news that he really had risen from the dead. It was not a spirit or a ghost. It was the living Lord Jesus, who could help them and bless them always, the same Lord Jesus they had known before. And he also gave them that evening some proofs, as he later did with doubting Thomas. He said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he said that, he showed them his hands and his feet, where the nail marks had been. And when the disciples still disbelieved, it says, for joy, still were struggling about this, maybe thinking this was almost too good to be true, and just marveling at all of this, Jesus gave them one more proof. He asked, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and he ate it before them. Jesus was showing them that he really had been raised with his same human body, able to eat, yet changed and glorified, so that he could also appear and disappear, and appear even in a locked room as he was just doing. And of course, for 40 more days, Jesus appeared to many more people and ate with some and did other things that showed very clearly he was truly alive for them. Even the children, as we talked in our children's sermon, realize they've never seen Jesus, and yet we believe in him, don't we, by faith. Jesus also then did one more very crucial thing that Easter Sunday evening that's important for us too. He pointed his disciples to the importance of his words, his true words. "These are my words," he said, "and the true word of God, the Holy Scriptures." Jesus knew that after 40 days, he would ascend into heaven and return to his heavenly Father. He would still be with us always as true God and man, but we would not be able to see him and touch him, talk with him in the same way as those disciples, those early disciples could. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read that the Apostle Paul wrote of the many people to whom the risen Lord Jesus appeared directly. And then he wrote, last of all, which implies there wasn't going to be anybody else. Jesus wasn't going to do this, appear here on earth in that way, at least not very often at all. "Jesus appeared to me," Paul said, "unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And Jesus, of course, brought Paul to faith. And a little later, Paul wrote of now his ministry. "We preached the word of God, and so you believed," he wrote in that, that 1 Corinthians passage. You believed in the good news of Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's exactly what Jesus wanted, was talking about happening as he spoke to those disciples that Easter evening. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and the other writings of the Old Testament, all those things must be fulfilled." And then Jesus opened the minds of the disciples to hear and to understand those scriptures in which, again, it is written that he, Jesus the Christ, had to suffer enough, in fact, to die, and then on the third day rise from the dead. And that's exactly what Jesus had now accomplished, fulfilling all the scriptures completely, what they predicted for their salvation and the salvation now available to the whole world. "You are witnesses of these things," Jesus told his disciples. Eyewitnesses they were. In effect, he could say, "You've seen these things, you've heard my word, you have the proofs that I died, but also that I rose from the dead in victory for you. Now it's going to be your job to share that good news with everyone you can. That repentance or the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in my name," Jesus said, "to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Jesus wanted his disciples to start there, as he still cared about his own Jewish people as well, even though so many of them seemed to be rejecting him. He wanted them too to have an opportunity to believe in him as Savior. And Jesus said, "You don't have to do this on your own, in your own power, bringing this good news to others. These are my words," Jesus said, "and I'll be with you always," though they could not see him or talk to him so directly as they had before. Jesus also promised in our text, as our text ends, "I am also sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." And Jesus was, of course, referring to the third person of the Trinity, also involved in our salvation, the one true God. And he would come at Pentecost, referring to the Holy Spirit, who worked through the word that day, proclaimed by Peter and others, and brought 3,000 people to faith and to the gift of baptism, and later on to the gift of the Lord's Supper as well. And as we heard in our first scripture lesson for today, these disciples heard, they believed, they were strengthened in their faith, and they continued, even after Pentecost, to proclaim the good news of Jesus in the temple and wherever they could. And the Holy Spirit continued to bring more people to faith in Jesus. The Lord also, of course, inspired Peter and John and Matthew and Mark and Paul and others to write down, put into words, what they had seen and heard from Jesus, so that still today, you and I can see and hear Christ and hear his word and all that happened as we read the New Testament, as well as all the predictions that were there in the Old Testament that point forward to Christ. And we thank the Lord now for parents, family, pastors and teachers, others who shared that same word of Christ to us long after the time of our Lord here on earth, that brought us also to faith and baptism and to be here tonight worshiping our Lord. Paul writes, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is vital, is useful for us, for keeping us in faith in Christ as well as bringing us there." And Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from sin, free for all the blessings and peace of this life, and for eternal life as well." And we also have the privilege ourselves of letting others know that good news in Jesus and sharing it with them through our church, maybe ourselves as we witness to others. Let us pray. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds safe, only where they are safe, in Christ Jesus and the peace he brings to us as our Lord. Amen. I'd invite you now to rise if you are able, and we'll speak together the words of the Nicene Creed. And then if you could remain standing, we'll come to our Lord with the special prayers.